You seem okay. In the afternoon service, especially when the Sunday school children are with us and you've been through a lunchtime, I worry sometimes that the afternoon is something that you have to endure. And I really pray that we can focus our minds and hearts on the Word of God, for another half hour or so. So let's do that together. I have a lot on my mind after sitting through such a beautiful morning, thinking about Romans 12. But I've just opened up the Word to Psalm 66. So let's read that together. I want to trust the Lord in just opening up the afternoon in His Word. And if you fall asleep, I'm going to call you out. Just saying. Let's read Psalm 66 together. You know this, but make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless the Lord. O bless our God, ye people, and make His voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Now, I'm going to read that again. Who holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire, or through fire and through water, but Thou bringest us out into a wealthy place. Now listen. He says, I will go into Thy house with burnt offerings, and I will pay Thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto Thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the intents of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. That is so awesome. And if you could follow along to the words, I hope your mind right now is thinking about where you're at in life and how this fits for you. Now, I know that you probably haven't walked through the River Jordan. You haven't walked through the Red Sea where the waters parted. But did they part for you in some way? Are they parting for you in some way now? Is God doing something that you never expected? Or are you looking at the sea? Are you looking at the enemy coming behind you right now? Whoever your enemy is, whoever that enemy is, and you see no way of escape, can you have the mustard seed of faith to say, God, deliver me? Even when you don't expect the Red Sea to depart, even when you don't know that it's possible, even when you have no idea what He can do, when we stand at the Red Sea and the enemy's coming, we want to have that kind of faith. Because look, you're young. Many of you are young. Some of you aren't so young. You're just getting warmed up, right? And you might have never had anything bad happen to you, but I will tell you, in your life, you're going to have a moment at the Red Sea where you don't know what to do. And I want you to begin right now to begin to increase your faith and to grow in faith and to believe. and to call upon Him. Because He provides a way of escape. When we read verse 9 twice, it said that He holds our soul in life. He holds our soul in life. Man, that's good stuff, right? At noon, I talked to a 12-year-old who's beginning to understand Jesus and what Jesus means. Not fully grasping the power, but sensing the need for Jesus. I love that stage of life. Where we become aware, where we grow from childhood into understanding the stories to feeling some draw to God, some need to God. Where are you at with that? Talking to someone about the possibility of membership into the church. He holds our souls in His hands. And there's always things along the way that we fear, that we just don't know, we don't understand. Boy, oh, don't you just love to open up the Word and think about what He has done for the people of Israel, but what He's done for you and for me. This is who our God is. Why? So when He wrote the first verse and He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, unto God. I think when He sat down to write, do you ever journal? You know, if you don't journal, you should journal. I talked to a widow last week who laid her husband to rest. You're going to think 65 is old, but 65 is young. And going through his stuff, she found that he'd been journaling every day since 1979. What do you think she's doing? What do you think she's doing? She's reading day by day. Stuff that he wrote down about her and the family and what was going on that is just, it's priceless to her. If you would take the time to journal, it means, guess what? Now this is not about journaling. I had no idea I was going to say this, but I'm thinking about writing this psalm. When David sat down at the end of the day, or maybe the beginning of the day, the thought that came to him was, make a joyful noise unto God. And then from that first line in his journal came the pouring out and the remembrance of what God had done for him. What has God done for you? You see, to journal means that you're taking time to remember Him, to remember the day, to remember what's good and what's bad, to write down what you fear. And then I think invariably we come back in faith to where our Savior is and who He is and what He does. That's the pattern of this hymn. He just had to write through it all to say what God had done and what God will do. And then look at the end and then we'll sing and pray. This is what I like about God, right? So you got something that's bothering you? You got something that's bothering you? Good. Awesome. Quit trying to fix it yourself and go to your knees. But here's the beautiful thing about God. When we go to our knees and we know we have a need and we cry out to Him, then what happens? Our iniquity becomes apparent to us. At least it does to me. When I'm pleading with God and I'm saying, God, I need your help, I remember what I may be holding out on Him. I remember my own sin. I remember my own flesh. He says there in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, is that bad theology? Is that good theology? Is that the way it is? All I know is that when I pray to be full of His Spirit, I become mindful of what separates me from Him. Have you ever prayed that? To be full of His grace. To be full of His grace and full of His Spirit means we're absent from the flesh. It's just the way it works. And it's a beautiful exercise. So I understand what he wrote. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It just seems that I sense the separation from God. So what's he say? What do we do? When the Spirit comes and speaks to us, it's the evidence that He loves you enough to say, stop it. And come to me. We know. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. That's awesome. Let's sing together. So, sorry, song leaders, but I'm not. When we got this kind of a group together, I got to go to the 290s. Which one do you want to tackle, Morgan? Evan? Which one? 295? All right, we're on. Let's sing that hymn. Now that was worth the price of admission. Let's kneel and pray together. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we sang, it was a joy and a blessing and a revelation of our heart to Thee. To blend the harmony together and to sing from our heart the words. And just by saying the words and singing the words, Lord, we want our faith to be increased and to run to Thee, to run to You, and to find rest. To remember Your words to us and the promises that we have of Thy presence of your presence in our lives right now, right here and right now. And we're thankful for that, and we're joyful for that, and we praise thee for that. And we pray, Lord, that today we could be built up again through this weekend, through giving to others, from serving others, that somehow our hearts are awakened to our life in Christ, to our life in you. And that, Lord, we would know that joy, that we would know the peace that comes, that we would be full of Spirit, thy Spirit, you in us, that we would be full of grace, that we would then reflect, Lord, what you've done for us and who you are to all mankind. Oh, we pray for that, Lord. We praise thee in that, and we're thankful. So hear our prayer now, Lord, as we open up the Word again. We pray to learn yet. For the babies that are in the mother's arms, Lord, bless those babies. Bless the mothers and the fathers. Bless those that are in the baby room, caring in the great ministry of life. For those that are single, for those that are married, for those that mourn, for those that weep, we pray, Lord, for a blessing upon them. And Lord, I pray for those that are sick, facing surgery, taking chemo. Lord, be near them. Help them in the nursing homes and the hospitals and the clinics. Lord, we pray for thy loving arms and thy healing power. Heal us emotionally. Heal us spiritually. Heal us physically, Lord. Why? So we would know that it is your miracle, your work, and that we could reflect, Lord, what has been done. We're just thankful now, Lord. We praise thee and ask it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking this morning about 1 Peter chapter 1. Can we go to 1 Peter chapter 1? Because I was getting all fired up when Greg was preaching about transformation in those first five verses. I was surprised nobody stood up and said, "Hallelujah." I mean, it would have been kind of embarrassing, right? But it's how I felt in my heart. And man, oh man, what I wanted to do kind of is I wondered if you were being motivated to holiness. I mean, that sounds kind of a drag, right? Motivated to holiness? But I liked how Greg was describing the living sacrifice. And I liked how he said that it means that we are who we are, but we are motivated in a different way. That made sense to me. Did that make sense to you? If you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to point to... There's a verse in here. See if you can find it. First Peter chapter 1, where he talks about Jesus being foreordained. Look at verse 20. This is what made me start flipping it back and forth of this. It says that Christ, look at verse 19 first, okay? What was Greg talking about this morning? Sunday school teachers, make sure you listen to the sermon this morning. Please, download it, listen to it. So we talked about Christ being... the Lamb without blemish. Remember when Greg was talking about this? This was really good stuff. The personal nature of putting your hand on the Lamb, you were owning your sin. Man, that was good. You got to think about that. If you, when you were praying before God, if the Holy Spirit reminds you of any iniquity, something that you just need to quit doing, you need to start doing, somebody you need to make peace with, that's just such a wonderful thing that teaches us about the Holy Spirit. Like we talk about the Holy Spirit, like it's just a church thing. It is Jesus Christ living in us. And we must learn how to incorporate that in our life. Well, must you? Is that salvation? Well, it's certainly living out our walk in Christ. And when we think about, if we brought that perfect lamb in to sacrifice, like Greg described this morning, and we had the whole... This is a lamb now, if you remember, that when your family would raise your lambs, and you love those lambs. I mean, it was like your pet, right? Your lamb would come in, and these little baby lambs would come in, you'd feed them with the bottle, you'd take care of them. But when it came time to sacrifice, you took that little lamb and you were going to kill the thing. Could you do that to your pet? Could you do that? I mean, this is such a silly example or reality compared to Christ dying on the cross, God's Son given for you and me. You and I, we take our pet lamb, the one that we've raised, it's a baby. We put our hand on that lamb and we slit its throat because of our sin. It's gross, right? It's horrible. But that's, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just replaying the morning sermon. Listen to it. You put your hand on that lamb because of your sin. Look at verse 19. The precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot went to the cross. And he died for you and me. I mean, I hope in thinking that about that a little bit more, we appreciate what Christ did and we are driven to holiness. My mind was going this morning and I thought about this chapter and I thought about what motivates someone to holiness, and I thought about, you know what, everybody will go to sleep. Oh, here we go again. But you think about your faith becoming real to you. You know, I love our church and I love how you grow up in a Christian home and you're taught what Christianity looks like. You're taught what it looks like. But at some point, it has to become your faith. It's not your mom and dad's faith. It's not the apostolic Christian faith. It's your personal faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what begins the transformation that Greg's preached about this morning. That's why we are not just lazy and becoming conformed to the world, just becoming like what's around us, but we are intentional about our growth and our transformation in Christ. Now listen, you and I smell bad on our own. We are naturally not going to change. Well, you could. I mean, you could get your PhD in goodness. You could become legalistic. You could imitate what it means to be good, but you're not changed from the inside out. And that's what we're talking about, right? What is the motivation for holiness? Let's read through this a little bit and think about it, because I think somewhere in here, look at verse 16. Because it is written, well, look at verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now often, sometimes as apostolics, we think about, well, what is it that traditionally that we're doing that I don't really have to do? I mean, we kind of think like that somehow in the way we are. That's what we are. Like, what do I got to do? What should I do? What is necessary? And this is what I like about that question, because first of all, we ought to say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? How do I live out my life in Christ? See, I don't think it's unhealthy to think that way, but I think as long as you're challenged to say, well, what do I need to do? What is important to me? What does it look like? What Brother Greg talked about this morning when he said, what does it mean to be a sacrifice? What does that look like? Does that mean, boy, we better not smile in church? Man, I hope not. Wouldn't that be sad? Wouldn't that be sad to go to Starbucks and be frowning all the time? Like, what's that do? What happened with that guy? We smile, we have joy because of what we've done. And the more we know about Him, and the more our faith is ours, then we live that out. That living sacrifice is living because it has joy. And so he says, be ye holy. I sometimes ask myself, what act of holiness have I put on? So sometimes I think about, what do I not have to do? What is just something somebody else has asked me to do? What do I need to do? Sometimes I like to ask myself, what have I added as holiness in my life? What have I walked away from? What have I put on? What have I put off? And then, you know, we're motivated to figure out, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that look like? So let's start at the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You see, we read, He is the holder of our soul. He is the holder of our soul. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Look, through what? Sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be to you, and peace be multiplied. Let's think about those two verses a minute. So, who is Peter? I love... Have you been to the Vatican? If you go to the Vatican, I think I may have this right, but Peter's Basilica is there, I know. But I think that when that church was built, the Catholic Church made sure that was the biggest church. All over the world, they build large churches all over the world. But it's a beautiful place. St. Peter's Basilica. I mean, he is the man, right? I mean, Peter, if you go into Mark and in the Gospels, you'll see that Peter was the first disciple called to Christ. He was the first one that Jesus saw walking along the Sea of Galilee. His name is Simon. His name is Simon, but Jesus called him Peter. But it means the rock. I mean, Jesus called him. Peter was a fisherman. He had no idea what he was going to do. He was the first called to Christ, but he was the first to deny Christ when he went to the cross. You know what that gives me? I hope this is not weird, but it actually encourages me when I think about the reality of life and how weak we are in our flesh and how we get afraid. We are afraid. And sometimes we're standing at the Red Sea and the enemy's coming and we do the wrong thing. If you've done the wrong thing, learn from it. That's part of transformation. Sometimes we naturally conform to the world because we're afraid or we don't have enough faith. And we're with the wrong group of friends. And right now, maybe in your life, you've been spending too much time with the wrong group of people. You've been going to the wrong internet site. You've been watching the wrong thing. You're reading the wrong thing. So that's where the Spirit comes in. That's Him living in you, loving you so much that He says, stop that. Come to Me. That's where He talks about putting off and putting on. So we say, we turn to Him and we say, Lord, I'm sorry I blew it. Help me. I see my need. I see my growth. I have a desire for You. And we become transformed. Boy, I wish I could stand here. I'm 60 years old. I wish I could stand here and say, man, if you're good Christians, well, maybe some of you, I kind of stopped. Maybe some of you have made it to 60 and you're just perfect. You just always made the right decision. But I think we're kind of like, right? I mean, you just do. Look, if the enemy's telling you that there is no hope, you know that's a lie, right? So, what does it mean you're elect? The Bible talks about Christians being elect, the Israel people being elect. It talks about Christ being elect and foreordained, and it talks about angels being elect. The foreknowledge of Christ. The holder of our souls. He knew you in your mother's womb. His grace is sufficient. And He calls you and I to live and to walk with Him. Now look at this recipe. I don't know what comes first. Look at this, verse 2. Through sanctification of the Spirit. So this is a recipe. We got a big bowl, okay? Let's throw in a little sanctification of the Spirit. And then in our little mixer bowl, we're going to throw in some obedience, unto obedience. That seems to be a step number 2. Sanctification of the Spirit. So what does that mean, do you think? What does sanctification mean? It means to be set apart, right? So we're set apart by the Spirit unto what? Obedience. That's transformation. Is anybody here naturally obedient? I mean, some kids kind of are. I was never that way. Is anybody here? I mean, I had brothers that were just naturally obedient. It kind of irritated me. They just did what they were supposed to do. I hope we have some. I mean, that's great. But what I like about Peter is that he learned the hard way. When he denied Christ, I can't imagine how horrible that was. It drove him to a place that he needed to be to do the work of God. So, the setting apart by the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, all of those things mixed up is how we are transformed. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, right? You're not saved because you got it right. You're saved when you commit to Him in faith. You're saved by the grace of God through faith. We're talking about transformation and being driven to holiness. I don't want you to try to be holy. It seems to me that that gets fakey. That there's kind of an imitation part to that that's not real. Where we are just trying to imitate others rather than thinking, using our mind about our theology and what we believe and be driven from our heart to holiness, to living for Him. I liked the skit last night about the... That was a great skit, wasn't it? I mean, it was pretty telling. And it was like we could all see ourselves a little bit in that, right? First of all, we feel the pressure to go say something. For those that weren't here, great skit. There were two people at a table right here having a conversation. This was at a coffee house. And then there was a table of people over here and a table of people over here eavesdropping. And it was pointed out to them that eavesdropping is not a fruit of the Spirit. And this goes back to Romans chapter 12 again. And as these two people were talking about a flood, a terrible disaster in a life, the seven fruits of the Spirit, these seven people, got up, walked over and said, I couldn't help but overhearing. And they just threw stuff at him that was not, it was not life-changing. It was not helpful. It was judgmental. It was harsh. And what we learned was a better way to implement the fruit of the Spirit. At least it made us think, didn't it? And I love the outcome of that, which was it said, do you really care? Go sit down, have coffee together and listen. And get to know them and see their heart. And walk in their shoes. It was a beautiful example. So verse 3 says, I'm already done, we're on two verses. Let's read a few more verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now listen, this is the Red Sea moment. Verse 6 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you can understand that or not. Old people, anybody over 20, 25, 30, I think we can understand that. The trial of our faith. And it's much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see Him not, not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Jump down to 13, because I don't want to go too long here. Because I'm trying to think about how to end this. And I'm trying to think. This is where we have to trust the Holy Spirit to motivate you. That as you have heard the word today, that you leave with one nugget of truth. Maybe two nuggets of truth to say, this is what I want to pursue. This is how I can be transformed. This is my next step in the Lord. And that you pursue it. Journal it out. As you're going home, put a note in your phone. Journal it out. Pray about it and ask God to deliver you or to help you or to grow you or to transform you. So this is what he says. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Can you picture that? Google gird up or think about it, but strengthen. Work on, develop your mind. I think that's where it starts. What does that mean to you? I think that means, it's funny, I see some of these young girls with coats on them. They're so cold, and the older ladies, or not older ladies, jeez. Why did I see that? Why did I say that? Can we strike that? Rewind. Verse 13. They're over here shivering, and I know there's women. One I'm married to wants the fans on all the time, so it's what I'm thinking of. And honey, you're not old. So let's finish up in verse 13. So here's what I think that starts to say. When he says, maybe this is old-fashioned language, but when he says gird up, that's an intentional act, okay? Listen, if you don't think about it and you're not intentional, if you just kind of say, well, I'm in the church, I'm okay. I'm a, you know, what's your last name? You know, I'm a Mets, I'm in. I'm a whatever you are, I'm in. You know, that's not very deep, right? Are you imitating or are you real? So this is an intentional act. To gird up the loins of your mind means that I'm going to think. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to intentionally pursue it. I want to know. I want to know what it means to be full of the Spirit. I want to know what it means to be full of grace. I want to know what it means to be holy. I kind of know what it means. I'm picturing some monk in a cave that never talks. I mean, think about how silly that was. But back in that day, that was kind of their mindset. I am going to go. I'm not going to marry. I'm going to be in a cave. And some of them didn't speak out of a desire to pursue holiness. I think you have to think about this. What does it mean to be holy? I loved last night and the thought about the fruits. It means to be have the fruit of the Spirit. That means what? That we've got the Spirit in us. That means what? That we are stirred up. We're sanctified by the Spirit. We're set apart by the Spirit. And we're driven in a desire to be like Christ. Now you don't picture in your mind a monk in a cave not speaking to anyone. You picture holiness in a new way. What is holiness today in 2017 in our world? What is that? That is worth thinking about. So you start with the thought process. Gird up your mind. Then he goes on to say, be sober. You know, it's nice to have fun. It's nice. But he says, be serious and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's what this says to me, and I'm going to stop. If you pursue Christ, you'll find him. If you are intentional and you gird up the loin of your mind, and you pursue Christ and what all these things are, if you desire to really give your life to Christ and be transformed by him, you're going to find him. Be serious. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought upon you. Listen, I can promise you this. When you rise to the moment before you, when you stand at the Red Sea and the enemy's coming, when you turn your faith to him, grace is coming. A grace that you can't measure and that you can't comprehend and that is the complete evidence of what Christ does in you and me. There is no excuse for you and me to leave this place and live a life that's full of our selfish way and not be intentional towards Jesus Christ. He has died upon the cross. That lamb, that sinless lamb, died on the cross for you and me. Let's pursue holiness.
Wow, it's been a great weekend. I'm so glad to have all of you come out to Indianapolis this weekend. I hope you can take the joy and excitement of what you had here and take it home with you. I hope all of you have safe travels back. And I really enjoyed the skit last night. Remember the skit, right? Sometimes when we see something done the wrong way, it really shows us how we can do something the right way. It was so neat last night to hear that skit and to have you go through it. And some of you were famous actors and actresses now, right? You know, as we go through this, I mean, it's just interesting. I'll leave on just a very simple thought here, but you know, the good news is all of you are free young men and women. You're free. The Lord has given you a lot. You have a lot to be sitting here in front. There's so many blessings that have been brought to you, but you have to do something with it. You know, it can be easy just to sit there and to roll with everything kind of the way Ken went through it. It can be easy to go through life that way. It can be easy just to sit back. And all of you are very blessed. I mean, really, all of you are blessed. But what are we going to do with the freedom that we've been given in Christ? What are we going to do like what Peter had done, right? I mean, Peter was willing to be the first one to be called to Christ, like was explained, but he was also the first to deny Christ. But he took those moments that were difficult in his life and he turned them into something. There's a free will that was in the husband that died, right? That kept a journal every day for 38 years since 1979. He took time and he put time into something. And that's what the Lord's asking you for. He's asking for your time and your attention. He's asking for your brilliant ideas, your youthful energy. He's asking for you for your love of Christ to show it. And to share it. And that's it. That's what he's asking. He's just asking for you. Let's sing a song. I mean, the last one was so good. So let's sing 570 in the brown book, if that's okay. I love to hear you guys all sing together. It is great. It just fills the whole room up here. It's how wonderful the grace of Jesus.
Thank you. Ask your brother to lead us in prayer.
Dear Father, thank you so much for the opportunities you've given us. Thank you so much for the wonderful men that you've put on the pulpit to teach us and to guide us and lead us. And I pray that all of our hearts will be transparent and humble today, God. And I pray that we will allow ourselves to be led. Thank you for the ultimate gift that you've given us. I pray that as we finish this day out, that that will be on the forefront of our minds, your love and your grace. I pray that will lead us to humility, as we learned last night. I pray that that will be the forefront of all our conversations and all of our thoughts. And it's with that love, with your love that you've given us, that we can say thank you. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.